Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online to learn more and to schedule an appointment at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoCincy.com. I am your host, Double T Travis there. Got a great show lined up for you this evening. Plenty to get into from over the weekend and, of course, from last week as well. We're talking about the IHSAA Girls Swimming and Diving State Finals, the Wrestling Semi-State Girls Basketball Regional. We'll hit on some boys basketball a little bit as the regular season is coming to its end over these next couple of weeks. Also going to highlight some student athletes in the area that have had some record-setting performances. Also have some student athletes that have made their college declaration, going to move on to continue their athletic and academic career at the collegiate level. So, yes, lots to get into. And I want to start at the state final level. Girls swimming and diving from over the weekend. A couple young ladies from East Central competing there at the state finals. Audrey Baumgartner placing 31st in the 50-yard freestyle, a time of 25.5 seconds. The state champion, just for comparison, Lillian Christensen from Penn. She finished with a time of 21.72. So Audrey Baumgartner, I believe just a sophomore at East Central, making an appearance at the state finals. So we'll see what she does to build off an impressive season. And Bree Cleary Jr. Makes it to the state finals in diving. She placed 30th. Her score was 153.55. For comparison, again, state champion Amelia Reinhart of Fort Wayne Snyder scored a 215 in the prelims and then a 341 in the finals. But again, impressive season for Bree Cleary, making it all the way to the state finals. And like I said, I do believe she's just a junior, so some more opportunity for her to improve upon that place next season, perhaps. I do want to mention quickly the boys swimming and diving sectional. That's going to be taking place this Thursday and Saturday. Columbus North, is going to be the host site for East Central, Lawrenceburg, Milan, Oldenburg Academy, Rising Sun, South Dearborn, and South Ripley Swimmers, Switzerland County. They will travel to Floyd Central for their sectional. So we will have results over at EagleCountryOnline.com Thursday and after Saturday's final round as well. And if we have time next week, we will certainly get to that on the show. I'm going to fill you in on what's happening next week on the show towards the end of this particular show. Just stay tuned for that. All right, let's talk a little wrestling here. Semi-state happening over the weekend. A couple of different semi-states that we were focused on. Newcastle is where a majority of our area wrestlers went on Saturday. Of course, there were four Switzerland County Pacers that made the trip to Evansville to compete at that semi-state. So I just want to go through and talk about each of the individuals that made it to the semi-state, because we had 35 from the area. Before we get to that, at Newcastle, Batesville placed 21st overall. Milan was 27th, East Central 28th. Just highlighting the top three teams from our area based on where they placed. So you're going to hear many names from those three schools as we go through this. Want to start at 106-pound weight class. Bryce Bruns out of Franklin County ends his season 29-11, is defeated in the first round by his competitor from Carmel. That was by total fall, 17-0. Bruns defeated at 106, but a great run to the semi-state, of course. At 113, Matthew Baylor did advance into the second round. He defeated Tyler Huffman out of Alexandria Monroe by fall, just a few seconds shy of 1 minute. Baylor goes on to the next round and is knocked out by Blake Getz out of Roncalli. Of Baylor is defeated by fall, 2 minutes and 56 seconds. But what a season it was for Matthew, 44-2 record. He'll look to build upon that next season as this Milan team, really, really good. And they got some youngsters there as well. So they're going to be back in a similar situation next year, we would think. At 120 pounds, Adam Brewer out of Batesville lost his first round match to Richard Rogers out of Franklin Central, losing by fall, a minute and 7 seconds. Adam Brewer finishes the season 27-11. Jackson Carr out of East Central also competing at 120. This was a stacked bracket from a local perspective, four in this bracket. But Carr defeated by R.J. Taylor out of Perry Meridian by fall, 2 minutes and 37 seconds, 29-11, the final record for Carr. Cole Freeze out of Franklin County also fell in the first round to Jack Richardson, one of the top wrestlers in this weight class, out of Roncalli. That was fall as well, 2 minutes and 27 seconds. And then Lucas Richards of Milan falls to Jeff McGuire from Greenfield Central by fall in just 40 seconds. But Freeze, 35-8, Richards, 25-17 to end their season at the semi-state. At 128, Colin Troyer of Franklin County won his first round match against a youngster from Zionsville, by fall, minute 22 seconds. And then Troyer, taking his 39-2 record into the second round, falls to Gunner Butt out of New Powell by fall, just shy of 3 minutes. So Troyer ends the season 39-3. And Liam Hubbard from South Dearborn, he was defeated by Nick Anderson out of Hamilton Heights, 15-0 in the first round. So Hubbard finishes his season 33-17. Brogan Rollman and Kyle Bolzer of East Central and Franklin County competing at 132 over the weekend. Rollman was defeated by Isaac Kuhn of Hamilton Heights. That was by fall, 33 seconds in. Kyle Bolzer also defeated by fall against Jack Davis out of Indianapolis Chittard, 1 minute 18 seconds. And similar records for these two young men. Rollman, 27-12. Bolzer, 26-12 to end their season. Brady Merck out of East Central competing at 138. He was knocked out first round by Maddox Cade of Southmont by fall. That match went 3 minutes and 54 seconds. And then Landon Walton out of South Dearborn defeated by Landon Vaught of Crawfordsville by major decision, 17-6. So Merck ends his season 24-14. Walton was 26-13 for the Knights. At 144, Trevor Bruns out of Franklin County lost to Dylan Graham from Cathedral by fall, minute 24 in the first round. Bruns ends his season 29-11. From East Central, you have Naiden Yeezen. He defeated Jalen Pugh in the first round by decision. 6-5, tight contest there, obviously. And then would go on to lose his next match to Christian Arbery out of Warren Central. That was by fall, 3 minutes and 47 seconds. At 150, Braden Tudor, what a great season he had for Lawrenceburg, 25-1 entering the first round of semi-state, defeated by Braden Getz out of Roncalli, 18-2. And then Logan Schott out of East Central, he was defeated by Aaron Durham of Warren Central by decision, 14-13. So a great showing by Schott. Gave it everything he had in the first round, just falling to a good wrestler from Warren Central. 30-10, Schott's final record. Davis Mayer of Batesville finishes his season 31-6, defeated by Silas Foster, one of the top-ranked wrestlers at 157 out of Purdue Poly. That was by fall, 1 minute 20 seconds. Brody Wingate of East Central, he was out in the first round to Jaden Jeffries out of New Powell, 9-7. So tightly contested match there as Wingate goes 24-13 this season. Caleb Wilburn, who had an awesome season for Milan, defeated Julian Eads out of Shelbyville by fall in the first round. 68 seconds was all it took for Wilburn to move on to the next round, and then he ran into Michael Kane of Hamilton Heights, losing by fall 3 minutes and 24 seconds into the match. But Wilburn, much like his cohort Matthew Baylor, had a great year, didn't lose all that often. Both those young men going to be back next season leading this Milan team. Damian Dance, speaking of not losing, he was undefeated coming into semi-state and did win his first match against William Wolford out of Tipton. He won that by fall. And then Dance loses his next match to James Dozier of Roncalli by decision, 11-7. So Dance has a great showing there at the semi-state, but unfortunately will not be moving on to the state finals. Jackson Prater out of East Central lost his first round matchup by fall, 29 seconds in. He finishes 27-13. Caden McClellan, another from Milan, defeated by Carter Richardson out of Noblesville by fall, 37 seconds in. So McClellan ends his season 31-16. At 175, Drake Rohrbacher from Lawrenceburg, defeated by Brenton Russell out of Warren Central by fall. Right around a minute in that match, 20-12, the final record for Rohrbacher. Cameron Gilb out of Milan, defeated by Michael White from Lawrence North by fall, 2 minutes 42 seconds. Gilb 38-6 on the season. Travis Riley from East Central finishes 18-20, defeated by Sear Godwise out of Perry Meridian, one of the top wrestlers at 175. Godwise wins that one by fall, 3-16. At 190, Brendan Coulter from East Central. His season ends 19-7, defeated in the first round by Luke Panola out of Zionsville by fall, 3 minutes and 15 seconds. I do believe Panola was highly ranked at 190. Breck Bowman out of Franklin County goes 38-3, defeated by Deshaun Tenor out of Hamilton Southeast. That was by decision, 14-9, so really hard-fought match there for Bowman. At 215, Zane Richardson from Milan. He ends his season 40-9, defeated by Andrew Troy from Chittard by fall. That match goes 421. Braden Rouse, who was ranked in the top 25 at 215, won his first-round match against Eli Libler out of Pendleton Heights, won that by fall. Rouse lost in the second round to Brandon Johnson of Lawrence North by decision 11-5, but a really great senior season for Braden Rouse. And Andrew Jones out of Batesville, his season comes to an end 25-8, defeated by Jackson Weingart out of Cathedral by fall, a minute 28. And then at 285, Max Amberger defeats Ty Everson of Frankton by a major decision in the first round, 9-1. Goes on to defeat Braden Fleener out of Greenfield Central by decision, 5-2. Lost in the semifinals to eventual 285-pound champ Austin Hastings out of Noblesville. A 6-3 decision there. Then Amberger gets pinned in the third-place match by Paris Green of Warren Central. But the fourth-place finish is good enough to get Max Amberger to the state finals this weekend in Evansville. More on that in just a moment. Also, we want to talk about the Evansville semi-state. That's where Switzerland County went over the weekend. Four competing there. Ethan Rose defeated Carson Badgler from Castle by fall in the first round of the 106 bracket. Rose then defeated in the second round by Joseph Hamilton out of Center Grove by decision 4-0. Center Grove was a little bit of a thorn in the side of Switzerland County at this Evansville semi-state. Dakota Fields at 120 ends his season 31-11, defeated by Charlie LaRocca of Center Grove by fall. I should mention Ethan Rose 41-6 on the season. At 126, Peyton Richards, who was ranked in the top 15 in this weight class, defeated a young man from Wrights by fall in the first round, a quick contest, 28 seconds, and then loses to Luke Rio of Avon, 15-0. In the second round, but Richards goes 43-1 on the season. And then Gabe Rose, well, he's off to the state finals, the first Switzerland County Pacer in program history to qualify for state. He defeated Caden Hauser of Floyd Central by fall, 421 in the first round, then defeats Deacon Dressler from Gibson Southern by major decision, 11-3 in the semifinals. He loses to the eventual semi-state champ Reese Courtney of Center Grove. There's Center Grove popping up again, major decision 13-5. And then Rose lost in the third place match to Branson Weaver out of Owen Valley by decision 9-4. But Gabe Rose, Max Amberger, going to be representing Southeast Indiana at the wrestling state finals this Friday at the Ford Center in Evansville. Evansville hosting the state wrestling championship for the first time ever this season. If you've never been there, a pretty cool venue. It's a little bit more intimate than Gainbridge Fieldhouse would have been in Indianapolis, where the state finals is normally held. But, some things going on in Indianapolis this weekend, NBA All-Star weekend, and the building just wasn't available. So they're moving it to Evansville, which is a great venue. A little bit more of a lengthy drive than it would be going to Indianapolis. But we got Gabe Rose, who is going to be competing in the 144-pound weight division, and he has drawn number 5, Easton Doster, out of New Haven. Doster is 35-0 on the season. And just kind of looking at this from a four-person standpoint, kind of the just that little portion of the bracket, first and second round, should Rose pull an upset and knock off the number 5 wrestler in the state, number 7, Dylan Graham, perhaps looming in the second round out of Pendleton Heights. He's 29-9 on the season. So the pathway for Rose looks like it's going to be very, very tough, but he's had a great season, and he's going to give it us all, I'm sure, on Friday against number 5, Easton Doster out of New Haven. For Max Amberger, 40-4 on the season, he drew number 4, Nate Johnson out of Center Grove, who has a 23-1 record coming into the state finals. And similar to Rose, if Amberger is able to get through his first round matchup, pull an upset there against the number 4 wrestler in the state. Number 2, Brady Beck, is in his grouping at the bottom of the bracket. Beck is 40-0 out of Penn. So, again, it's just kind of a fact of matter that it's going to be tough on these two wrestlers to advance through this bracket, but it is the state finals, so I don't think any match in particular would be easy there, but they just happen to draw some of the most highly ranked wrestlers in their weight classes. But we do wish Gabe Rose and Max Amberger all the best of luck in Evansville this Friday. Hopefully they're staying for Saturday and progressing through their brackets. All right, after going through all that, I need a little bit of a break, so we're going to step aside for a short break, hear from Dr. Gordon Yun, and we will return with second half action of Crunch Time presented by OrthoSensei Orthopedics and Sports Medicine on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. Welcome back to Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. It is presented by OrthoSensei Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. And I am going to have a few thoughts on the Super Bowl when we get to the end of the show. Wanted to get through all of the local high school athletics before we get to something like that. So, again, we do appreciate you tuning in each and every Monday. And a big thanks to our friends at OrthoSensei Orthopedics and Sports Medicine for their continued in high school athletics. You can go to OrthoSensei.com. That's OrthoCincy.com to learn more about all their great doctors, their services, how they can treat you, and of course, schedule an appointment on their website as well. All right, now I want to jump into some girls basketball talk as Jackson Dell still alive in the state tournament. They defeat Eminence 34-25 in the single game regional on Saturday. Julia Meyer and Kelsey Borgman with 10 points each in this game. Reagan Hughes chipping in with 8. That has been the big three for this team throughout the season, 3 all-conference players, all-district players as well. So when they score the ball well, this team usually wins. Sophia Sullivan and Kaylin Henners had 3 each in this regional contest against Eminence. Lady Eagles didn't shoot well in this game. The evidence is right there, 9 of 39, 23%, but they did take really good care of the ball, only 8 turnovers, and were able to put 12 points on the board from the free throw line, 12 of 20. Pretty decent job shooting from the charity stripe. Of course, could be better, just a little bit over 50%. But in a game where you only scored 34, you held the other team to 25, and you got 12 points from the free throw line, you'll take that. In a game like this, Eminence, they did not report their stats on Max Prep, so I don't know what their shooting percentage was, but having scored only 25 points, pretty obvious that Jackson Dell put the clamps on them defensively. So it is the tournament, and you win any way that you can. Low scoring, defensive battle, kind of having to win ugly or win in what is a game where you're not really sharp on the offensive end. Sometimes that's what it takes to advance to the next round. Now, I do think Jackson Dell is going to have to play much better in their next game because the competition only gets stronger from here. 8 teams left, and Jackson Dell, number 8 in 1A. So they are a part of the equation as one of the best teams in the class, but they did get a little bit of an unlucky draw because they're going to play number 1 Lanesville at New Albany this weekend. Lanesville's 26-1. They're coming off a state championship a year ago, and they look like they are firing on all cylinders. Their only loss this year, I think, was to Evansville Memorial, which is a much, much bigger school. They have been on a long win streak to get to this point, so going to be a very, very tough game. Should Jackson Dell knock off the number 1 team in the state, though, they would play North Central or number 12 Wood Memorial in the semi-state championship. On the other side of the bracket, you have number 2 Clinton Central, number 5 Marquette Catholic, number 7 Caston, and Union City alive as well. So good luck to the Jackson Dell Lady Eagles, certainly a really, really talented team that might just do it, pull off a big upset, knock off the number one team on Saturday. That would be quite the story. So we're looking forward to seeing how that game shakes out. Sticking with girls' hoops, but going across the border to Southwest Ohio, we want to say congratulations to Harrison High School's new all-time leading scorer, junior Allie Robertson, broke the all-time scoring record for both boys and girls basketball in a 53-50 win over Hamilton last Monday. She had a game-high 18 points, and it brought her career total to 1,371 points. Down by season to that point, 427 for her junior season. She scored 552 last year and 392 as a freshman. She's averaging 21.4 points per game this season and shooting close to 50% from the field. Career average is just a little over 20 points per game, and Robertson's been a big key part in Harrison winning the Southwest Ohio Conference for the first time in program history, 5-1 in conference play this season. So a big congrats to Allie Robertson on becoming the all-time leading scorer again for both boys and girls basketball at Harrison, and she's got a whole nother season to go. So can she get to 2,000? That might be the big talking point for next season for this young lady. And I've gotten to the point in the show where I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit. Let's go back to Indiana and stick with girls basketball, because I did mention it earlier with Jackson Dell having three all-conference selections. That's because they were co-champions with Southwestern this season. So it was Kelsey Borgman, Reagan Hughes, and Julia Meyer representing the Lady Eagles on that all-conference team. Meyer is one of the top scorers and rebounders in the conference, 14.6 points per game, 8 rebounds. Hughes, second leading scorer at 12 points per game, and then Borgman averages close to 10 points and a team-high 2.3 assists. Rising Sun plays two on the all-conference team. Jenna Peelman, a little bit of a do-it-all player, 9.5 points per game, 5.5 rebounds, 3 steals, and the conference's top scorer and rebounder, Alyssa Simpson, close to 17 points per game and 12 rebounds. No-brainer for the all-conference team. South Ripley and Switzerland County had two selections each. Reese Obendorf and Claire Samples for South Ripley, Hallie Archer and Courtney Higgins for the Lady Pacers, and Kaya Rainier, who averaged a double-double, was the lone all-conference selection for Milan. So congratulations to all those young ladies. Now I want to head to the football field and talk about some standout players that are going to be continuing their academic and athletic careers at the collegiate level. East Central's Connor Kuhn committing to Franklin College. He was the third leading tackler for the Trojans this past season and obviously helped to lead them to a second straight state championship. Speaking of which, the Trojans did get their state championship rings last week. It was during the boys varsity basketball game against Connersville, which was a win for the Trojans, and the rings look pretty sweet. We wanted to give a shout out to STW. They cover local sports here in the area, and they got some really great shots of the state championship rings for East Central, and they were gracious enough to allow us to use one of the photos for a story over at EagleCountryOnline.com. Beautiful ring, EC logo right in the middle, state of Indiana. Of course, it says state champs. You got four blue gems that represent the four state titles in program history, back to back on the side, and then of course, whoever the player is, they have their name on the other side of the ring as well. So really, really sharp, worth checking out over on our website if you haven't seen them already. Lawrenceburg duo going to be going off to college as well. First, Braden Combs committing to Thomas More, and he's going to be a dual sport athlete at Thomas More, going to play football and going to run track. He is an excellent, excellent athlete, speedster. That's the word that comes to mind first when I think of Braden Combs. So looking forward to seeing what he does across the creek over in Northern Kentucky. And then Zaven Slayback is going to play football at Hanover College. He was the leading tackler for the Tigers this past season. So congratulations to those two young men. Speaking of Hanover College, Jesse Stinger breaking the shot put record at Hanover. She's a graduate of East Central High School, currently a junior at Hanover College, and her shot put record actually ranks her top 25 nationally. So she's going to be striving for a national championship at some point this season, and she has certainly had a great collegiate career already. She's already been an All-American and might be on her way to doing that again here in 2024. All right, so I got myself a few more minutes. I got a couple more things I want to get to. I want to talk a little high school boys basketball. We're not going to get to go real in-depth on that. And a couple thoughts on the Super Bowl to round out the show. So let's jump into some boys basketball roundup here. Had the privilege of being out at Versailles this past Friday with Mike Perleberg for our feature game of the week. South Ripley defeats South Dearborn 60-51. Highly entertaining game. Cole Henry was fantastic. 30 points, a couple of monstrous dunks in that game. Blaine Ward, 19 points as well. And that was really interesting that they scored 30 and 19 this season, because those two young men had the exact same stat line against South Dearborn last year when they defeated the Knights. So, little deja vu for South Dearborn. South Dearborn was trailing at one point in this game by double digits, and then Scout Gray got really hot in the fourth quarter. He probably made five or six buckets in a row, ended up with 20 points. South Dearborn came all the way back and even had a lead in the fourth quarter, but South Ripley, the play of Henry and Ward, just too strong as they pull away in the end for the 9-point victory. Ward hit some really big free throws down the stretch. I think he went 7 of 8 in the fourth quarter to ice the win. So a good win for South Ripley as they continue to build some momentum towards sectional play. They were hoping to get some help from Rising Sun in the ORVC, but Southwestern just too good. One of highly ranked teams in 2A. They defeat Rising Sun 66-35. So it is the Rebels that win the ORVC with a 6-0 record in conference play. So South Ripley going to have to settle for second place this season. Couple other notes in high school basketball. We got a big game coming your way this Friday. It will be South Dearborn at Lawrenceburg. Big rivalry game. South Dearborn still alive in the conference. They do need some help, and they would certainly have to win this game to stay with the two losses in the EIAC, and then they would need East Central to go on the road and knock off Greensburg next Friday. And if that happens, well, there's going to be a big tie at the top of the EIAC. So we'll talk a little bit more about that probably on next week's show, which is a good transition into letting you know that South Dearborn is going to come on the show on Monday next week to talk about the sectional draw. Of course, give their plea to East Central to please go on the road and defeat Greensburg. Not that East Central is going to need any added motivation, because they have a shot at the conference championship as well. They did fall to Batesville in overtime over the weekend, which ended their shot at being the outright champion in the conference, but they still got that away game at Greensburg, where if they win, they knock Greensburg down to two losses, and then, you know, a lot of different, it could be a four-way tie, I think, at this point. I think Batesville's got two losses in the conference as well. So big game for South Dearborn coming up on Friday. It's big for Lawrenceburg, too, everybody's trying to build momentum heading into sectional play. It's right around the corner, just a handful of regular season games to go. So any issues that teams have, now's the time to get them worked out and really be feeling good about how you're playing heading into the tournament. And of course, it's always fun when South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg get together. You can just tell that the atmosphere is a little bit different when you're in the gym. There's a buzz when these two teams play. You can feel it when they take the court, and of course, once the action gets started. So looking forward to being on the call. I'll be with Bill Smith on Friday as we bring you full coverage from Lawrenceburg High School. 7:10 pregame coverage, 7:30 tip-off, Tigers and Knights coming your way on Eagle Country. But yes, Patrick Crossgrove and a couple of his players going to be in studio next Monday. And this was at the request of Coach Crossgrove. Got a chance to talk to him this past Friday out in Versailles. He said, hey, we'd love to come back on the show, just talk sports in general. Like, they don't even have to be here to talk South Dearborn basketball. We will, but they want to come on and just have some fun and just talk sports, because that's what we do on this show. So I'm looking forward to having them in the studio, and I think we're going to try to get some reaction about the sectional draw from another coach in the area, one that maybe they're going to be going up against on Friday. I don't know if Coach Cutter knows yet, but I'm going to be reaching out to him to see what his reaction is, because we will be covering Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn sectional games once we get to that point. So very much looking forward to the draw and seeing how it shakes out this Sunday on the IHSAA website. And then one final note with East Central having a shot to share the EIAC championship. We're going to be out at Greensburg for our regular season finale, not this Friday, but next Friday when the Trojans go out there and try to get a share of the conference championship. So that should be a good one as well, and that'll take us right into sectional play. And then now that we're getting down to the end of this, got just a couple minutes left, a little reaction from the Super Bowl last night. Pretty good game when you look at the score line. Goes into overtime, 25-22. Kansas City gets the win. One of the things that was a little shocking to me was San Francisco had no idea about the new playoff rules and how they differ from the regular season once they went into overtime. A lot of the players and even the coaches said they never really talked about it throughout the entire season. So I thought that was a little bit of a head-scratcher that they didn't really know what was going on, which is basically both teams were going to get a chance to get the ball regardless of what the first team did. San Francisco took the ball. If they would have went down and scored a touchdown, and Mahomes and the Chiefs are still coming out on the field. So that's how that differs from the regular season. I just thought that was a little baffling. San Francisco, 10-point lead early in the game. And I know it was early, but I feel like they had a chance to extend that lead. They had some troubles holding on to the ball at times. They had a couple red zone trips that were not good. I just feel like they had a couple golden opportunities to extend that lead beyond two possessions and really put some more pressure on the Chiefs. That's not to say the Chiefs couldn't have come back from a 17-point deficit or whatever it might have been, but it's harder. I mean, obviously, the more you're down, the harder it is to come back. So I think the 49ers, when they go back and they reflect on this game, they're going to be kicking themselves a little bit for some of those missed opportunities. But that's what happens in sports. The team that loses generally had some missed opportunities, and that's where we'll leave it, I guess. Patrick Mahomes, you can't give him the ball in a situation where he can go down and tie and or win the game. He's going to win in that situation more times than not. He has proved that throughout his career. And as much as I don't really like seeing the Chiefs win, they've been there, done that. They've been in the Super Bowl virtually every year for the past 5 or 6 years, except for the year that Joe Burrow and the Bengals got him. So it's one of those things where being a Bengals fan, it's tough to watch the team that beat you and knocked you out of the playoffs last year go back and win the Super Bowl. But at the same time, you have to respect their greatness and what they've been able to accomplish as a group. A lot of those guys have been there for quite some time, and they just have a really great organization and team. And maybe the Bengals are the one team that can truly knock them off next year. Joe Burrow is the only guy that's in the NFL right now, the only quarterback in the NFL right now that has even beaten Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game. The other guy that's done it is Tom Brady, and I think we all know about his resume. So hoping that next year is going to be a different story and we can be here on this show talking about the orange and black confetti falling on the Bengals in New Orleans. I've long said I like sports destiny stories, and with the ties to Louisiana, Joe and Jamar winning a national championship in that building, it would just be so storybook for them to get their first Super Bowl win in New Orleans as well. So hopefully that's going to be the case around this time next year. So I'm going to end it on that because I have run myself out of time, which I do every week because I only get 30 minutes and sometimes I go over that allotted time, which I have done here this evening. Thank you so much for tuning in to Crunch Time. Another big thanks to our friends at Ortho Sensi for their continued support of the show. Like I said, next week we'll have some sectional draw reaction, and we're going to have the South Dearborn Knights in studio for that as well. Looking forward to it. Hopefully you are too. Thanks for listening. This is Eagle Country 99.3.